This is Brother Peter Diamond, VaticanCatholic.com. In Romans 8:28-30, we find a passage that many Protestants, particularly Calvinists, call the golden chain of redemption. Quote, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified." End quote. According to Calvinists, the statement, "those whom he justified, he also glorified," means that everyone who is justified will necessarily be glorified or saved. They believe it proves the truth of the idea called once justified, always justified. That doctrine is also sometimes referred to as once saved, always saved, eternal security, or the perseverance of the saints. However, they are completely wrong. They've ignored the context of the chapter, not to mention the teaching of the rest of the New Testament, and constructed a false gospel as a result. Their position is directly refuted by two different verses in this very chapter of the book of Romans. First, note that in Romans 5:9 and in numerous other places in the book, St. Paul makes it clear that he's writing to those who have been justified. In Romans 6:22, he describes his audience as those who have been set free from sin. Therefore, what St. Paul says in the book of Romans applies directly to true believers, not fake believers. It applies to truly justified and believing Christians. Keep that in mind. And does he teach that they cannot lose their justification or salvation? No, he teaches exactly the opposite numerous times. In Romans 8:12-13, just a few verses before the, quote, golden chain of redemption, we read this, quote, "So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live," end quote. Writing to those he described as justified in Romans 5:9, he says that they will die, that is, be eternally lost, if they live according to the flesh. It's extremely clear. In fact, in the Greek of Romans 8:13, we twice find the word a conditional conjunction meaning if. The believers will only be saved if they live according to the Spirit. It's not guaranteed that they will do so. That proves that justified believers can lose their justification and be damned if they commit sins of the flesh. Once justified, always justified is a false gospel. This passage also, of course, refutes the idea of justification by faith alone, because it proves that man's actions play a role in determining whether he will maintain the state of justification and be saved. Paul emphasizes the point by making it again in Romans 8:16-17. He says, quote, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him," end quote. Notice that Paul teaches that the justified believers will only be heirs with Christ and glorified if they do God's will and are willing to suffer with him. Paul uses the Greek conjunction aper, which means if indeed, if perhaps, provided that, to express that their salvation is conditioned upon whether they will suffer with him. It's not guaranteed. That's quite clear. Those justified people will only be saved if they persevere to the end in faith and live a life according to the Spirit, as the rest of the New Testament also teaches. Once saved, always saved is blatantly opposed to the teaching of the book of Romans and the New Testament. Paul's statements, which clearly teach that justified Christians will lose their salvation if they live according to the flesh, come just a few verses before the passage known as, quote, the golden chain of redemption. His warnings to the justified in verses 12-17 therefore set the context for what he says later. So, after telling the justified believers two different times in this very chapter that their salvation is not guaranteed and that they will lose it if they make sinful choices, is St. Paul permitted to speak about the elect who do end up in heaven? Is he permitted to express God's faithfulness and power in bringing people to salvation if they follow him and don't abandon him? Of course he is. And he shouldn't have his words perverted by heretics when he chooses to address that matter and express those truths. Thus, after having made it clear that the justified believers will lose salvation if they don't live in accordance with God's will and grace, in verse 18 he shifts the focus. He begins to speak about God's faithfulness and the glory awaiting those who do end up in heaven. Romans 8:18, quote, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us," end quote. He continues speaking about those who will end up in heaven and attain salvation in Romans 8:28-33. That's why Romans 8:33 says, quote, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect?" In the case of the elect who end up in heaven, God was faithful in predestining them, calling them, justifying them, and glorifying them. That doesn't mean that everyone who is justified will be glorified. In fact, in one of his previous warnings to the justified in verse 17, he referred specifically to the conditional nature of their glorification, quote, "If indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified." Hence, whether they are glorified is conditional. By the way, the reason that St. Paul doesn't mention sanctified or sanctification in the list given in Romans 8, 28-30 is that sanctification happens at the same time as justification. When he refers to those who have been justified, he's referring to those who have been sanctified. That biblical truth, that justification and sanctification happen at the same time, is contrary to the Protestant notion that justification and sanctification are separate and occur at different times. So, as a continuation of his discussion of the elect who will ultimately end up in heaven, Paul proceeds to express how no external force, power, or event can separate them from God's love. That's why he says in Romans 8:35, quote, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or the sword?" In Romans 8:38-39, he expands on the point, quote, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord," end quote. St. Paul teaches that no event, force, or predicament can separate them from God's love or prevent him from bringing them to salvation, for he is all-powerful and infallibly faithful to those who believe in him and do his will. St. Paul is not teaching that God himself will not cut off those who choose to live after the flesh or refuse to suffer with him. He already warned the justified twice in this very chapter that that will happen. That's precisely why in the list of external events, forces, and predicaments, which he says will not separate them from the love of Christ, he doesn't include sin. Sin is not mentioned there because sin will separate them from the love of Christ and salvation, as he taught in verses 12 through 17. Thus, we can see quite clearly how Protestants, in promoting that Romans 8:28 through 30 teaches once justified, always justified, completely ignore the context and abuse the passage. In fact, it's incredible to consider that an entire Calvinist theology, reflected in schools, seminaries, quote, churches, talks, and presentations, consistently promotes a complete perversion of the text, a view that is demolished by numerous verses in the very same chapter, Romans chapter 8. The fact that a significant number of people actually give credence to such an unbiblical position is an astounding example of people's bad will, believing what they want to believe rather than what the chapter clearly teaches numerous times. And just in case anyone had any doubt that Paul was telling the true justified believers that they can lose their salvation for gravely sinful choices and actions, he forcefully makes the point again in Romans chapter 11. In Romans 11:17, Paul says, quote, "You, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root," end quote. This again makes it clear that he's referring to true believers who have been grafted into Christ and share in the nourishing root. Jesus Christ is the vine, and his Father is the vine dresser, John 15:1. And what does Paul tell the true believers who have been grafted into Christ? In Romans 11:22, he says this, quote, "For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the goodness and the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's goodness toward you, if you continue in goodness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off," end quote. His words are extremely clear. St. Paul tells the justified believers that they will be cut off from Christ if they don't continue in goodness. That completely contradicts and refutes the false doctrines of once justified, always justified, and faith alone. To adhere to once justified, always justified, or faith alone in the face of such texts is simply to deny the teaching of the Bible and embrace a false gospel.